I had a passion for arithmetic when I was about 5 years old, but I lost it. By the time I turned into my teens, I would shudder at the sight of a simple sum. I couldn't be counted on to numerically quantify the human experience. No one told me about the essential cosmic beauty of mathematics. Or maybe I wasn't at school that day. Or maybe I was a million miles away. I was drifting. School was a distraction from the more important stuff I had to be getting on with. I liked Latin for a couple of weeks too, but that wore off fast. We had an old record player at home, and that might have been part of the problem. As far as I was concerned, there was much more happening inside songs than there was anywhere else. If maths had been taught through song, I might have been a mathematician, but it wasn't, so I'm not. I was fond of fresh air and singing. I was worried that we were all being herded into indoor jobs where you couldn't sing when you felt like it. Some people manage very well, saving their singing for the end of the day. I wouldn't be able. Fresh air and singing suggested to me a career as a hobo blues singer. I could do that. When I was being admonished and diminished for my poor grasp of the language of the Holy Roman Empire, the knowledge that I would one day be a hobo blues singer, sleeping in barns, that's what kept me going. Then punk happened. I was 16. Suddenly everything made sense. I got expelled from school, and by the end of my 17th year, I was squatting in London. There's ambition. There was lots of young Irish in London living in squats. It's a whole aspect of the national narrative that has been hitherto neglected. Firstly, people didn't want their mothers to know, because what would the neighbours think? Secondly, when people came home and had their own kids, they didn't want to be saying, oh, when I was your age, I was squatting in London. It wasn't going to happen. Punk was about uncensored self-expression. It was about immediacy and feeling empowered. Before it became fashion, it rejected fashion. It sowed the seeds of disruption, but didn't provide any solutions. It was a start, not an end. Thrashing guitars were great. Three chords and the truth will always hold true. But the freedom to evolve meant it was bound to move on. And the squats were like a university of sorts. Young artists could afford to leave home and live in the heart of London. Books were read and poems written. Walls were painted. Interiors decorated. Conversations had and music was made. Politics mostly inclined towards the dismantling of Maggie Thatcher's England, confronting the National Front and an end to nuclear proliferation. And I was evolving as a human being. However, I had a hankering for somewhere else. That beloved place I'd left behind. So I came back to Ireland and became the hobo I always wanted to be. Rain and the lack of access to freight trains with boxcars meant I had to temper my dreams. But more than 40 years later, I can safely say it worked out better than I could possibly have imagined. I avoided the sort of job that scared me so much. When I want to sing the blues, I sing the blues. But I woke up this morning with a small doubt in my head. The arts have blossomed, but it has to be said there's a quagmire of bureaucracy. There's no end of form filling required, and administration ad infinitum. So here I am doing sums and struggling with an academic language of arts administration that would leave Latin in the halfpenny place. Well, all my school peers are starting to take early retirement, buying camper vans and spending their pensions driving around singing all day. There is no punk pension plan. No punk wedding bands to supplement income. Anyway, I don't really play punk music. I've evolved. I play eccentric, gentle punk. It's a small market. A very small market. Tiny. So yes, it's a fine mess I've gotten myself into. And it's a bit late for turning now. I'll soon be 60. See what happened? One small doubt turned a hugely successful career into a dust bowl of dreams. I love my life, but nobody wants to hear songs about bumblebees and nettle soup. It's not fashionable. Those hipsters seem to have plenty of disposable income. There's millions of them splashing cash on moustache wax and beard manicures. Maybe I could start writing hipster songs about drinking beer from microbreweries and getting my Wellington boots muddy at boutique festivals. They're all very urban, though. Do you know what hipsters love more than anything? Dystopia.